Well be with you, gentlemen.
Hark you, Guildenstern, and you too. At each ear, a hearer. That great baby you see there is not yet out of his swaddling clouts.
Happily, he is the second time come to them, for they say an old man is twice a child.
I will prophesy he comes to tell me of the players. Mark it. Oh, you say right, sir, a Monday morning, 'twas then indeed.
My lord, I have news to tell you.
My lord, I have news to tell you. When Roscius was an actor in Rome...
The actors are come hither, my lord.
Buzz, buzz.
Upon my honour.
Then came each actor on his ass...
The best actors in the world. Either for tragedy, comedy, history, pastoral... Pastoral comical, historical pastoral. Tragical, historical, tragical, comical, historical, pastoral, scene indivisible, or poem unlimited. Seneca cannot be too heavy, nor Plautus too light. For the law of writ and the liberty, these are the only men.
O Jephthah, judge of Israel, what a treasure hast thou!
What a treasure had he, my lord?
Why, one fair daughter and no more, the which he loved passing well.
Still on my daughter!
Am I not in the right, old Jephthah?
If you call me Jephthah, my lord, I have a daughter, that I love passing well.
Nay, that follows not.
What follows then, my lord?
Why... As by lot God wot, and then you know, it came to pass as most like it was. The first row of the pious chanson will show you more, for look you, where my abridgment comes.
The players enter.
Ha ha! You are welcome, masters! Welcome all! Oh, I am glad to see thee well. Welcome, good friends! Oh, old friend, why, thy face is valiant since I saw thee last. Com'st thou to beard me in Denmark? What, my young lady and mistress? My lady, your ladyship is nearer to heaven than when I saw you last by the altitude of a chopine. Pray God your voice, like a piece of uncurrent gold, be not cracked within the ring. Masters, you are all welcome. We'll e'en to it like French falconers, fly at anything we see. We'll have a speech straight. Come, give us a taste of your quality. Come, a passionate speech.
What speech, my good lord?
I heard thee speak me a speech once, but it was never acted, or if it was, not above once. For the play, I remember, please not the million. 'Twas caviar to the general, but it was, as I received it, and others, whose judgment in such matters cried in the top of mine, an excellent play, well digested in the scenes, set down with as much modesty as cunning. I remember, once said there were no salads in the lines to make the matter savoury, nor no matter in the phrase that might indict the author of affectation. But called it an honest method. As wholesome as sweet, and by very much more handsome than fine. One speech in't I chiefly loved. 'Twas Aeneas's tale to Dido, and thereabout of it especially when he speaks of Priam's slaughter. If it live in your memory, begin at this line. Let me see. Let me see. The rugged Pyrrhus, like the Hyrcanian beast... 'tis not so. It begins with Pyrrhus. The rugged Pyrrhus, he whose sable arms, black as his purpose, did the knight resemble when he lay couched in the ominous horse, hath now this dread and black complexion smeared with heraldry more dismal. Head to foot, now is he total ghouls, horridly tricked with blood of fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, baked and impasted with the parching streets that lend a tyrannous and a damned light to their lord's murder. Roasted in wrath and fire, and thus o'er-sized with coagulate gore, with eyes like carbuncles. The hellish Pyrrhus, old grandsire Priam, seeks to proceed you.
For God, my lord, well spoken, with good accent and good discretion.
Shh!
Anon he finds him, striking too short at Greeks. His antique sword, rebellious to his arm, lies where it falls, repugnant to command. Unequal matched, Pyrrhus at Priam drives, in rage strikes wide, but with the whiff and wind of his fell sword, the unnerved father falls. Then, senseless Ilium, seeming to feel this blow, with flaming top, stoops to his base, and with a hideous crash, takes prisoner Pyrrhus' ear. For lo, his sword, which was declining on the milky head of Reverend Priam, seemed in the air to stick. So, as a painted tyrant, Pyrrhus stood, and like a neutral to his will and matter, did nothing. But as we often see against some storm, a silence in the heavens, the rack stands still, the bold winds speechless, and the orb below as hush as death, anon the dreadful thunder doth rend the region. So, after Pyrrhus' pause, aroused vengeance sets him new awork, and never did the Cyclops' hammers fall on Mars's armour, forge for proof etern, with less remorse than Pyrrhus' bleeding sword now falls on Priam. Out! Out, thou strumpet fortune! All you gods, in general synod, take away her power. Break all the spokes and fellies from her wheel, and bowl the round nave down the hill of heaven, as low as to the fiends. This is too long.
It shall to the barbers with your beard.
Prithee, say on! He's for a jig or a tale of bawdry, or he sleeps. Say on! Come to Hecuba.
But who? Oh, woe, had seen the mobled queen.
The mobled queen?
Oh, that's good. The mobled queen is good. Run barefoot up and down, threatening the flames with bison room. A clout upon that head where late the diadem stood, and for a robe about her lank and all o'er teemed loins a blanket. In the alarm of fear caught up, who this had seen, with tongue in venom steeped, gainst fortune's state would treason have pronounced. But if the gods themselves did see her then, when she saw Pyrrhus make malicious sport in mincing with his sword her husband's limbs, the instant burst of clamour that she made, unless things mortal move them not at all, would have made melch the burning eyes of heaven and passion in the gods. Look where he has not turned his colour, and has tears in his eyes. Prithee no more.
'Tis well. I'll have thee speak out the rest of this soon. Good my lord, will you see the players well bestowed? Do you hear? Let them be well used, for they are the abstract and brief chronicles of the time. After your death you were better have a bad epitaph than their ill report while you live.
My lord, I will use them according to their desert.
God's bodkin, man, much better. Use every man after his desert, and who should scape whipping, use them after your own honour and dignity. The less they deserve, the more merit is in your bounty. Take them in.
Come, sirs.
Follow him, friends. We'll hear a play tomorrow.
Dost thou hear me, old friend? Can you play the murder of Gonzago?
Aye, my lord.
We'll hide tomorrow night. You could, for a need, study a speech of some dozen or 16 lines which I would set down and insert it, could you not?
Aye, my lord.
Very well. Follow that lord. And look, you mock him not. My good friends, I'll leave you till tonight. You are welcome to Elsinore.
Good, my lord.
Aye, so goodbye to you.
Everyone leaves except Hamlet.
Now I am alone. Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in a fiction, in a dream of passion, could force his soul so to his own conceit that from her working all his visage waned? Tears in his eyes, distraction in his aspect, a broken voice, and his whole function suiting with forms to his conceit. And all for nothing. For Hecuba. What's Hecuba to him, or he to her, that he should weep for her? What would he do had he the motive and cue for passion that I have? He would drown the stage with tears, and cleave the general ear with horrid speech, make mad the guilty and appall the free, confound the ignorant, and amaze indeed the very faculties of eyes and ears. Yet I, a dull and muddy-mettled rascal, peek, like John o' Dreams, unpregnant of my cause, and can say nothing. No, not for a king, upon whose property and most dear life a damned defeat was made. Am I a coward? Who calls me villain, breaks my pate across, plucks off my beard and blows it in my face, tweaks me by the nose, gives me the lie in the throat as deep as to the lungs? Who does me this? Huh? Swoons, I should take it. For it cannot be, but I am pigeon-livered and lack gall to make oppression bitter, or ere this I should have fatted all the region kites with this slave's awful bloody bawdy villain. Remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless villain of vengeance! Why, what an ass am I? This is most brave, that I, the son of a dear father, murdered, prompted to my revenge by heaven and hell, must, like a whore, unpack my heart with words, and fall a cursing like a very drab, a scullion. Fie upon foe, about my brains. I have heard that guilty creatures sitting at a play have, by the very cunning of the scene, been struck so to the soul that presently they have proclaimed their malefactions. For murder, though it have no tongue, will speak with most miraculous organ. I'll have these players play something like the murder of my father before mine uncle. I'll observe his looks, I'll tent him to the quick. If he do blench, I know my course. The spirit that I have seen may be a devil, and the devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape, yea, and perhaps out of my weakness and my melancholy, as he is very potent with such spirits, abuses me to damn me. I'll have grounds more relative than this. The play's the thing. Wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king.
Hamlet leaves. Act 3, Scene 1. A room in Elsinore Castle. The king and queen enter with Polonius, Ophelia, Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and several lords and courtiers.
And can you by no drift of conference get from him why he puts on this confusion, grating so harshly all his days of quiet with turbulent and dangerous lunacy?
He does confess he feels himself distracted, but from what cause he will by no means speak.
Nor do we find him forced to be sounded, but with a crafty madness keeps aloof when we would bring him on to some confession of his true state.
Did he receive you well?
Most like a gentleman.
But with much forcing of his disposition.
Niggard of question, but of our demands most free in his reply.
Did you assay him to any pastime?
Madam, it so fell out that certain players we o'erwrought on the way. Of these we told him, and there did seem in him a kind of joy to hear of it. They are about the court, and as I think, they have already ordered this knight to play before him.
'Tis most true. And he beseeched me to entreat your majesties to hear and see the matter.
With all my heart. And it doth much content me to hear him so inclined. Good gentlemen, give him a further edge, and drive his purpose into these delights.
We shall, my lord.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern leave.
Sweet Gertrude, leave us too. For we have closely sent for Hamlet hither, that he, as 'twere by accident, may hear affront Ophelia. Her father and myself, lawful espials, will so bestow ourselves that, seeing unseen, we may of their encounter frankly judge, and gather by him, as he is behaved, if it be the affliction of his love or no that thus he suffers for.
I shall obey you. And for your part, Ophelia, I do wish that your good beauties be the happy cause of Hamlet's wildness. So shall I hope your virtues will bring him to his wonted way again, to both your honours.
Madam, I wish it may.
The Queen leaves.
Ophelia, walk you here. Gracious, so please you, we will bestow ourselves. Read on this book, that show of such an exercise may colour your loneliness. We are oft to blame in this. 'Tis too much proof that with devotion's visage and pious action we do sugar o'er the devil himself.
Oh, 'tis too true. How smart a lash that speech doth give my conscience. The harlot's cheek, beauted with plastering art, is not more ugly to the thing that helps it than is my deed to my most painted word. Oh, heavy burden.
I hear him coming. Let's withdraw, my lord.
The king and Polonius hide behind a tapestry as Hamlet enters.
To be or not to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing, end them. To die. To sleep no more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache. And the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep. To sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time? The oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin. Who would these fardels bear? To grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death. The undiscovered country from whose boon no traveller returns puzzles the will, and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all. And thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with the pale cast of thought. And enterprises of great pitch and moment, with this regard, their currents turn awry and lose the name of action. Soft you now. The fair Ophelia. Nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
Good my lord, how does your honour for this many a day?
I humbly thank you, well.
My lord, I have remembrances of yours that I have longed to re-deliver. I pray you now receive them.
No, not I. I never gave you aught.
My honoured lord, you know right well you did. And with them, words of so sweet breath composed as made the things more rich. Their perfume lost, take these again, for to the noble mind, rich gifts wax poor when givers prove unkind. There, my lord.
Are you honest?
My lord.
Are you fair?
What means your lordship?
That if you be honest and fair, your honesty should admit no discourse to your beauty.
Could beauty, my lord, have better commerce than with honesty?
Aye, truly, for the power of beauty will sooner transform honesty from what it is to a bawd than the force of honesty can translate beauty into his likeness. This was sometime a paradox, but now the time gives it proof. I did love you once.
Indeed, my lord, you made me believe so.
You should not have believed me. For virtue cannot so inoculate our old stock, but we shall relish of it. I loved you not.
I was the more deceived.
Get thee to a nunnery. Why wouldst thou be a breeder of sinners? I am myself indifferent honest, but yet I could accuse me of such things that it were better my mother had not borne me. I am very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more offences at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape, or time to act them in. What should such fellows as I do crawling between earth and heaven? We are arrant knaves all, believe none of us. Go thy ways to a nunnery. Where's your father?
At home, my lord.
Let the doors be shut upon him, that he may play the fool nowhere but in his own house. Farewell.
Oh, help him, you sweet heavens.
If thou dost marry, I'll give thee this plague for thy dowry. Be thou as chaste as ice, as pure as snow, thou shalt not escape calumny. Get thee to a nunnery, farewell. Or, if thou wilt needs marry, marry a fool, for wise men know well enough what monsters you make of them. To a nunnery, go, and quickly too, farewell.
Heavenly powers, restore him.
I have heard of your paintings too well enough. God hath given you one face, and you make yourselves another. You jig, you amble, and you lisp. You nickname God's creatures, and make your wantonness your ignorance. Go to, oh, no more wrong, it hath made me mad. I say we will have no more marriage. Those that are married already, all but one, shall live. The rest shall keep as they are. To a nunnery, go!
Hamlet leaves.
what a noble mind is here our throne. The courtiers, soldiers, scholars, eye, tongue, sword. The expectancy and rose of the fair state, the glass of fashion, and the mould of form, the observed of all observers, quite down. And I, of ladies, most deject and wretched, that suck the honey of his music vows, now see that noble and most sovereign reason, like sweet bells jangled out of tune and harsh, that unmatched form and feature of blown youth, blasted with ecstasy. Oh, woe is me, to have seen what I have seen. See what I see.
Polonius and the king step out from behind the tapestry.
Love? His affections do not that way tend, nor what he spake, though it lacked form a little, was not like madness. There's something in his soul o'er which his melancholy sits on brood. And I do doubt the hatch and the disclose will be some danger. Which, for to prevent, I have in quick determination thus set it down. He shall with speed to England for the demand of our neglected tribute. Happily the seas and countries different with variable objects shall expel this something settled matter in his heart, whereon his brain, still beating, puts him thus from fashion of himself. What think you want?
It shall do well. But yet do I believe the origin and commencement of his grief sprung from neglected love. How now, Ophelia? You need not tell us what Lord Hamlet said. We heard it all. My lord, do as you please. But if you hold it fit, after the play, let his queen mother all alone entreat him to show his grief. Let her be round with him, and I'll be placed, so please you, in the ear of all their conference. If she find him not, to England send him, or confine him where your wisdom best shall think.
It shall be so. Madness in great ones must not unwatched go.
Act 3, Scene 2. A room in Elsinore Castle. Hamlet enters with some of the players.
Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, as many of your players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. Nor do not saw the air too much with your hand, thus. But use all gently. For in the very torrent, tempest, and, as I may say, whirlwind of your passion, you must acquire and beget a temperance that may give it smoothness. Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise. I would have such a fellow whipped for o'erdoing termagant. It out-Herod's Herod. Pray you avoid it.
I warrant, your honour.
Be not too tame, neither. But let your own discretion be your tutor. Suit the action to the word to the action, with this special observance, that you o'erstep not the modesty of nature. For anything so or done is from the purpose of playing, whose end both at the first and now was and is to hold, as 'twere, the mirror up to nature, to show virtue her feature, scorn her own image, and the very age and body of the time his form and pressure. Now, this overdone, or come tardy off, though it makes the unskillful laugh, cannot but make the judicious grieve. The censure of the which one must in your allowance all weigh a whole theatre of others. Oh, there be players that I have seen play and heard others praise, and that highly, not to speak it profanely, that neither having the accent of Christians, nor the gait of Christian, pagan, nor man, have so strutted and bellowed, that I have thought some of nature's journeymen had made men, and not made them well. They imitated humanity so abominably.
I hope we have reformed that indifferently with us.
Oh, reform it altogether. And let those that play your clown speak no more than is set down for them. For they be of them that will themselves laugh, to set on some quantity of barren spectators to laugh too, though in the meantime some necessary question of the play be then to be considered. That's villainous, and shows a most pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it. Go make you ready.
The players leave. Polonius enters with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
How now, my lord? Will the king hear this piece of work?
And the queen, too, and that presently.
Bid the players make haste.
Polonius leaves.
Will you two help to hasten them?
Aye, my lord.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern leave. Horatio enters.
What ho, Horatio?
Here, sweet lord, at your service.
Horatio, thou art e'en as just a man as e'er my conversation coped with all.
Oh, my dear lord.
Nay, do not think I flatter. For what advancement may I hope from thee that no revenue hast but thy good spirits to feed and clothe thee? Why should the poor be flattered? No, let the candid tongue lick absurd pomp, and crook the pregnant hinges of the knee, where thrift may follow fawning. Dost thou hear? Since my soul was mistress of her choice, and could of men distinguish her election, she hath sealed thee for herself. For thou hast been as one in suffering all that suffers nothing. A man that fortunes, buffets, and rewards hath ta'en with equal thanks. And blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commeddled that they are not a pipe for fortune's finger to sound what stop she please. Give me that man that is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core, aye, in my heart of heart, as I do thee. Something too much of this. There is a play tonight before the king. One scene of it comes near the circumstance which I have told thee of my father's death. I prithee, when thou seest that act afoot, even with the very comment of thy soul, observe my uncle. If his occulted guilt do not itself unkennel in one speech, it is a damned ghost that we have seen, and my imaginations are as foul as Vulcan's stithy. Give him heedful note, for I, mine eyes will rivet to his face. And after we will both our judgments join in censure of his seeming.
Well, my lord, if he steal aught the whilst this play is playing, and scape detecting, I will pay the theft.
They are coming to the play. I must be idle. Get your place.
Claudius and Gertrude enter with Polonius, Ophelia, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
How fares our cousin Hamlet?
Excellent, i'faith, of the chameleon's dish. I eat the air, promise crammed. You cannot feed capons, so.
I have nothing with this answer, Hamlet. These words are not mine.
No, nor mine now. My lord, you played once at the university, you say?
That I did, my lord, and was accounted a good actor.
What did you enact?
I did enact Julius Caesar. I was killed in the Capitol.
Brutus killed me.
It was a brute part of him to kill so capital a calf there. Be the players ready?
Aye, my lord. They stay upon your patience.
Come hither, my dear Hamlet. Sit by me.
No, good mother. Here's metal more attractive.
Hamlet sits next to Ophelia.
Oh, ho! Do you mark that?
Lady, shall I lie in your lap?
No, my lord.
I mean my head upon your lap.
Aye, my lord.
Do you think I meant country matters?
I think nothing, my lord.
That's a fair thought, to lie between maid's legs.
What is, my lord?
Nothing.
You are merry, my lord.
Who, I?
I, my lord.
Oh, God, you're only jig-maker. What should a man do but be merry? For look you, how cheerfully my mother looks, and my father died within 2 hours.
Nay, 'tis twice 2 months, my lord.
So long? Nay, then, let the devil wear black, for I'll have a suit of sables. Oh, heavens, died 2 months ago and not forgotten yet? Then there's hope a great man's memory may outlive his life half a year. But by lady, he must build churches then, or else shall he suffer not thinking on with the hobby horse, whose epitaph is, for oh, the hobby horse is forgot.
The players enter to perform a mime show. The characters of a king and queen are seen embracing. When the king rests on a bank of flowers, his queen leaves him to sleep. A man enters, kneels by the sleeping king, removes his crown, and pours poison in his ear. When the queen returns to find her husband dead, the poisoner pretends to know nothing and helps others to console her. The king's body is carried away, and we see his killer trying to woo the queen with gifts. At first, she rejects him, but after a while, accepts his love. The players take a bow and leave.
What means this, my lord?
Marry, this is Mitching Maliko. It means mischief.
Belike this show imports the argument of the play.
The prologue enters.
And we shall know by this fellow. The players cannot keep counsel. They'll tell all.
Will he tell us what this show meant?
Aye. Or any show that you will show him, be not you ashamed to show. He'll not shame to tell you what it means.
You are not. I'll mark the play.
For us and for our tragedy, here stooping to your clemency, we beg your hearing patiently.
The prologue leaves.
Is this a prologue or the posy of a ring?
'Tis brief, my lord.
As woman's love.
The player king and queen enter.
Full 30 times hath Phoebus' cart gone round Neptune's salt wash and Tellus' orbed ground, and 30 dozen moons with borrowed sheen about the world have times 12 30s been, since love our hearts and hymen did our hands unite commutual in most sacred bands.
So many journeys may the sun and moon make us again count o'er ere our love be done. But woe is me, you are so sick of late, so far from cheer and from your former state, that I distrust you. Yet though I distrust, discomfort you, my lord, it nothing must. For women fear too much, even as they love, and women's fear and love hold quantity in neither aught or in extremity. Now, what my love is, proof hath made you know, and as my love is sized, my fear is so. Where love is great, the littlest doubts are fear. Where little fears grow great, great love grows there.
Faith, I must leave thee, love, and shortly too. My operant powers their functions leave to do. And thou shalt live in this fair world behind, honoured, beloved, and haply one as kind, for husband shalt thou...
Oh, confound the rest! Such love must needs be treason in my breast. In second husband let me be accursed. None wed the second, But who killed the first?
That's Wormwood.
The instances at second marriage move are base respects of thrift, but none of love. A second time I kill my husband dead, when second husband kisses me in bed.
I do believe you think what now you speak, but what we do determine oft we break. Purpose is but the slave to memory, of violent birth but poor validity, which now, the fruit unripe, sticks on the tree, but fall unshaken when they mellow be. Most necessary 'tis that we forget to pay ourselves what to ourselves is debt. What to ourselves in passion we propose, the passion ending doth the purpose lose. The violence of either grief or joy their own enactures with themselves destroy. Where joy most revels, grief doth most lament. Grief joys, joy grieves on slender accident. This world is not for I. Nor 'tis not strange that even our loves should with our fortunes change. For 'tis a question left us yet to prove whether love lead fortune or else fortune love. The great man down, you mark his favourite flies. The poor advanced makes friends of enemies. And hitherto doth love on fortune tend. For who not needs shall never lack a friend, and who in want a hollow friend doth try, directly seasons him his enemy. But orderly to end where I begun, our wills and fates do so contrary run that our devices still are overthrown. Our thoughts are ours, their ends none of our own. So think thou wilt no second husband wed, but die thy thoughts when thy first lord is dead.
Nor earth to give me food, nor heaven light, sport and repose lock from me day and night. To desperation turn my trust and hope, and anchor's cheer in prison be my scope. Each opposite that blanks the face of joy, meeth what I would have well at it destroy. Both here and hence pursue me lasting strife, if once a widow, ever I be wife.
If she should break it now.
'Tis deeply sworn. Sweet, leave me here a while. My spirits grow dull, and fain I would beguile the tedious day with sleep.
Sleep, rock thy brain, and never come mischance between us twain.
The player queen leaves. The player king lies sleeping.
Madam, how like you this play?
The lady doth protest too much, methinks.
Oh, but she'll keep her word.
Have you heard the argument? Is there no offence in't?
No, no, they do but jest. Poison in jest. No offence in the world.
What do you call the play?
The Mouse Trap. Marry, how tropically. This play is the image of a murder done in Vienna. Gonzago is the Duke's name, his wife, Baptista. You shall see anon. It is a knavish piece of work, but what of that? Your Majesty and we that have free souls, it touches us not. Let the galled jade wince, our withers are unwrung.
Lucianus enters.
This is one Lucianus. Nephew to the king.
You are as good as a chorus, my lord.
I could interpret between you and your love if I could see the puppets dallying.
You are keen, my lord, you are keen.
It would cost you a groaning to take off my edge.
Still better and worse.
So you mistake your husband's. Begin, murderer. Leave thy damnable faces and begin. Come, the croaking raven doth bellow for revenge.
Thoughts black, hands ept, drugs fit and time agreeing, confederate season else no creature seeing. Thou mixture rank of midnight weeds collected, with Hecate's ban thrice blasted, thrice infected. thy natural magic and dire property. Unwholesome life usurp immediately.
Lucianus pours poison into the sleeping king's ear.
He poisoned him in the garden for his estate. His name's Gonzago. The story is extant and written in very choice Italian. You shall see anon how the murderer gets the love of Gonzago's wife.
The king rises.
What? Frighted with false fire?
How fares, my lord?
Give over the play.
Give me some light. Away.
Lights, lights, lights!
Claudius storms off, followed by everyone except Horatio and Hamlet.
Why, let the strucken deer go weep, the heart and gall at play. For some must watch while some must sleep, thus runs the world away. Ah, would not this, sir, and a forest of feathers, if the rest of my fortunes turn Turk with me, with provincial roses on my raised shoes, get me a fellowship and a cry of prayers?
Half a share.
Ah, oh, a whole one, aye, for thou dost know, O Damon dear, this realm, this mantle was of Jove himself, and now reigns here a very, very... Pajock?
You might have rhymed.
Oh, good Horatio, I'll take the ghost's word for £1,000, didst perceive?
Very well, my lord.
Upon the talk of poisoning!
I did very well note him.
Come, some music! Come, the recorders! For if the king like not the comedy, why then belike he likes it not, Purdy. Come, some music!
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern return.
Good, my lord. But take me a word with you.
Sir, a whole history.
The king, sir.
Aye, sir, what of him?
Is in his retirement marvellous distempered.
With drink, sir?
No, my lord, rather with choler.
Your wisdom should show itself more richer to signify this to the doctor, for me to put him to his purgation would perhaps plunge him into more choler.
Good my lord, put your discourse into some frame, and start not so wildly from my affair.
I am tame, sir. Pronounce.
The queen, your mother, in most great affliction of spirit, hath sent me to you.
You are welcome.
Nay, good my lord, this courtesy is not of the right breed. Oh. If it shall please you to make me a wholesome answer, I will do your mother's commandment. If not, your pardon and my return shall be the end of my business.
Sir, I cannot...
What, my lord?
Make you a wholesome answer. My wit's diseased. But, sir, such answer as I can make, you shall command. Or rather, as you say, my mother. Therefore, no more but to the matter... My mother, you say?
And thus, she says, your behaviour hath struck her into amazement and admiration.
Oh, wonderful son that can so astonish a mother! But is there no sequel at the heels of this mother's admiration? Impart.
She desires to speak with you in her closet ere you go to bed.
We shall obey were she 10 times our mother. Have you any further trade with us?
My lord, you once did love me.
And still do by these pickers and stealers.
Good my lord, what is your cause of distemper? You do surely bar the door upon your own liberty if you deny your griefs to your friend.
Sir, I lack advancement.
How can that be when you have the voice of the king himself for your succession in Denmark?
Aye, sir. But while the grass grows, the proverb is something musty.
The players enter with recorders.
Oh, the recorders! Let me see one! Doop-de-doop-de-do! To withdraw with you. Why do you go about to recover the wind of me as if you would drive me into a toil?
Oh, my lord. If my duty be too bold, my love is too unmannerly.
I do not well understand that. Will you play upon this pipe?
My lord, I cannot.
I pray you.
Believe me, I cannot.
I do beseech you.
I know no touch of it, my lord.
It is as easy as lying. Govern these ventages with your fingers and thumb, give it breath with your mouth, and it will discourse most eloquent music. Look you, These are the stops.
But these cannot I command to any utterance of harmony. I have not the skill.
Why, look you now. How unworthy a thing you make of me. You would play upon me. You would seem to know my stops. You would pluck out the heart of my mystery. You would sound me from my lowest note to the top of my compass. And there is much music. Excellent voice in this little organ, yet cannot you make it speak. S'blood, do you think I'm easier to be played on than a pipe? Call me what instrument you will, though you fret me, you cannot play upon me.
Polonius enters.
God bless you, sir.
My lord, the queen would speak with you, and presently.
Do you see yonder cloud that's almost in shape of a camel?
Oh, by the mass, and 'tis like a camel indeed.
Methinks it's like a weasel.
It is backed like a weasel.
Or like a whale.
Very like a whale.
Then I will come to my mother by and by. Oh, they fool me to the top of my bent. I will come by and by.
I will say so.
By and by is easily said. Leave me, friends.
Everyone leaves except Hamlet.
'Tis now the very witching time of night, when churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood, and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on. Soft. Now to my mother. O heart, lose not thy nature. Let not ever the soul of Nero enter this firm bosom. Let me be cruel, not unnatural. I will speak daggers to her, but use none. My tongue and soul in this be hypocrites. How in my words so never she be shent, to give them seals never my soul consent.
Hamlet leaves. Act 3, Scene 3. The Chapel in Elsinore Castle. The King enters with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
I like him not, nor stands it safe with us to let his madness range. Therefore prepare you. I your commission will forthwith dispatch, and he to England shall along with you. The terms of our estate may not endure hazard so near us as doth hourly grow out of his brows.
We will ourselves provide. Most holy and religious fear it is to keep those many, many bodies safe that live and feed upon your majesty.
The single and peculiar life is bound with all the strength and armour of the mind to keep itself from annoyance. But much more, that spirit upon whose weal depends and rests the lives of many. The cess of majesty dies not alone, but like a gulf doth draw what's near it with it. Or it is a massy wheel fixed on the summit of the highest mount, to whose huge spokes 10,000 lesser things are mortised and adjoined, which when it falls, each small annexment, petty consequence, attends the boisterous ruin. Never alone did the king sigh, but with a general groan.
Arm you, I pray you, to this speedy voyage, for we will fetters put upon this fear which now goes too free-footed.
We will haste us.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern leave. Polonius enters.
My lord, he's going to his mother's closet. Behind the arras I'll convey myself to hear the process. I'll warrant she'll tax him home. And, as you said, and wisely was it said, 'tis meet that some more audience than a mother, since nature makes them partial, should o'erhear the speech of vantage. Fare you well, my liege. I'll call upon you ere you go to bed, and tell you what I know.
Thanks, dear my lord.
Polonius leaves.
Oh, my offence is rank. It smells to heaven. It hath the primal elder's curse upon it. A brother's murder. Pray, can I not? Though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my strong intent, and like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin, and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy, but to confront the visage of offence? And what's in prayer but this twofold force to be forestalled ere we come to fall, or pardoned being down? Then I'll look up. My fault is past. But, oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder? That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder, my crown, mine own ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offence? In the corrupted currents of this world, offence's gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft is seen the wicked prize itself buys out